Dead Crow Comedy Club, Wilmington, North Carolina, August 14th through the 16th, doing 5 shows. Long Island, New York. It's been a minute, and I'm excited to come back. Brokerage Comedy Club. It's tiny. It's tight. It's a good room. I really like it. I will be there August 23rd. Los Angeles, California, September 25th. I am going to be at the United Theater. That's downtown. I know you don't want to go downtown, but come and see a great show. And then, speaking of hot, Phoenix, Arizona, I am going to be at Stand Up Live for 4 shows. I'm going to be there September 5th and 6th at Stand Up Live in Phoenix. It's a huge room. Come on out. I haven't been to Phoenix in a while. DanSoder.com for all dates, including the Golden Retriever of Comedy. That's the theater tour that kicks off in late September in Los Angeles. We got all the dates listed, and all the dates are up on my website for sale. DanSoder.com. There's like a book about Guns N' Roses that I have up here called I Want to Watch You Bleed. And they talk about when they did the album Appetite for Destruction, they lived in a storage unit.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Which that's is incredible. Like, done that.
I love that album too.
Yeah, but living in a storage unit and doing heroin and then rocking out.
Yeah,
and
awesome. Like, that's of course that album's awesome.
Of course, yeah. Like, yeah, duh. It's
the big problem with comedy, dude. It's like you can't, like, I'm rushing to get a good special before I'm too rich to be able to understand anyone.
Dude.
Like, I have to. Like, this is my last chance.
We're absolutely recording, but this is something
problem.
Where...
It's the problem.
People don't realize that I'm very bad at business, but part of it is on purpose.
Yeah.
Because I'm trying to keep the part of me alive that is like a shitty employee so I can make good stand-up.
I get it. I mean, there's also other... I mean, there's obviously been examples of, like, great... Like, people dealing with, like, I think prior, was it Sunset Strip, whichever one?
Sunset Strip, it was after he was burned up.
Yes, that's an incredible one, because he's talking about it, you know, honestly or whatever.
You should read the book. It didn't go well.
He bombed the first one, didn't
he? Yeah, well, he had to come back, and then a lot of that special is done not in front of an audience.
Whoa.
They had to, like, do reshoots, because he was so fucked up.
Fascinating.
And, like, he was kind of like...
I knew that he had fucked up the first one, and he came back the second night, which I thought was cool.
Yeah.
But I didn't realize they had to do reshoots. That's fascinating.
Yeah, because in the book, he just goes, like, and then I went back the second night, and everything was good. But then someone that, like, directed it was in an article, and they were like, no, we had to, like, really piece it together.
Interesting.
Because his first special, Richard Pryor Live in Concert, which is what you're saying, before the money, before... He was like...
Well, he said he had like 5 albums too.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of fascinating because
none of the titles we can say.
Yeah.
It's there all were, like that N-word is crazy, super N-word.
Imagine
being a white dude in the 70s and going like, I'm gonna go get this album.
Yeah.
Super.
And yeah, they're like, whoa. Yeah. Oh, they didn't have a problem.
They didn't give a fuck. I think it was taught in schools. I think proper N-word pronunciation was in schools where they're like, you need to stick the R.
But
Pryor's Live in Concert 1978 or 1979, Live in Concert, is like, that's the best. And that's just him doing an hour.
Yeah.
But
I mean...
He's not rich yet.
But I think that's what I love about all those albums, that it was like, it wasn't as precious. In a weird way, it's come back around where now I think the people that are doing I think the clear secret now is just put shit out.
Yeah.
Even if it's not perfect.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what those prior albums were like.
What's crazy about it is
some of them are recorded really bad. I listened to a bunch of them recently
because
I wanted to get into like the 70s mind. Like, I don't know. I was just curious. Like, what were people really like?
It was all brand new.
Yeah,
stand up was brand new, and also a lot of albums. People don't realize, especially our generation, they would do albums and then they would take the hits and that would be the special. That's why it was called a special.
It was sort of like a mixtape.
Yeah, they're situation. Like, it's a greatest hits. Like, oh, here's all my greatest hits. And I filmed it. And then they would have like bands open for them.
Yeah. It was a real thing.
They'd put it in movies. Like Eddie Murphy put Raw in like movie theaters.
Yeah, I mean, a special because only like 5 people could do it. It was special.
If you got greenlit, people were like, fuck, you're filming it. You're going to film this. It was like a big...
Remember,
I mean, you were probably, because you're younger than I am, Martin Lawrence put out that was the last concert, like movie.
Kings of Comedy.
Yeah, it was kinda, in theaters.
That's the one that I remember that was like a big deal. They were doing press for it. You went to go see it in theaters. It was awesome.
Yeah, and then you realize that Bernie, like, they made Bernie close out all the shows, and he was like, all right, we'll redo my contract. Those stories are awesome.
Yeah.
When Bernie was like, I'm the motherfucking man.
And he, I mean, he I actually just rewatched his part. Just, I'll throw that on sometimes.
Milk and cookies?
Yeah.
He does.
Well, not, okay, that part's awesome, right? Yeah. I mean.
That's the most quotable part.
That's a beautiful part because it's like, I watched it and it was like, I watched it with somebody who was like, didn't know anything about it really.
Oh, Bernie Mac for the first time.
She's loving it. And then he drops, he calls his nephew.
Oh yeah.
He drops a couple F's on him.
Hard tease
but
too.
But it's all hard. Oh yeah. Yeah.
That was when black culture was real DL but about also, the gay shit. Yeah. But they also, were not cool with
gay. Here's the thing though. That bit, yes, the word is fucked up, whatever.
Yeah.
It's a bit about he took them into his home.
Yeah.
He raised them as his own
there's
son.
There's nothing funnier
there's
than
like
that.
There's like such a like humanity and kindness to it. And it's, yes, he's saying bad words, whatever, but it's like what actually matters, he raised this fucking,
yeah,
he like saved this kid. And it's like, obviously, whatever, that's fucked up. He shouldn't have said that, whatever, but he clearly had love for him. And then even in that, he has like all of his is like, there's so much macho stuff in there, and there's kind of like misogyny, whatever, fine, some good stuff. But he, there's just, in the middle of it, there's a bit about how he busts fast.
Dude.
And how he's just like.
I got to rewatch this.
It's incredible. Like, he's just got a whole thing about kind of being sexually inadequate, and then being like, he even says like, you know, if your girl threatens to like fuck some other guy, be like, go fuck some other guy. It's like, he's like, I'll watch. He has like a cuck punchline in there.
Really?
Where he's like, I'll watch. And it's a fascinating, like, just a guy who's so open and honest and still a good person. It's just, it's so good. And
also,
then, yeah.
It's funny that he talks about inadequacies because his Def Jam set, the most infamous Def Jam set, is he'll pull his dick out and make this whole place black.
Exactly.
He's like, I'll fuck a woman. He's like,
sort of like the evolution.
Yeah, where he goes, like, you know what, when I, back there, I didn't mean all that stuff.
Yeah.
Remember when I had my face on my jeans?
Yeah.
I was talking awesome. Out of pocket.
But also, he's a testament to like, the utmost, if you just turn swagger to like, and performance and command of a room. Because like, look, some of those jokes, you read the transcript, it's nonsensical. There's no punchline. There's nothing.
But, I ain't afraid of you, motherfuckers.
But he's so in control. And both those sets are like fascinating because he's just, I mean, Def Jam's obviously, it's a smaller room, but it was so,
I mean,
you know, it was like combative. And then the Kings, I mean, they shot that in the Charlotte. In
the Charlotte Arena.
Straight up arena. It's crazy.
Now, you know, we have friends that work arenas like they're clubs.
Yeah.
You know, we know people that work arenas like clubs, but like that was huge. The fact that they were doing an arena in Charlotte, because before that.
Of course.
The only thing people talked about was that Dice sold out the Garden.
Yeah.
Which was like. The pinnacle.
There would be a like somebody every like 10 years.
Yeah,
Steve Martin, Dane Cook, Dice Clay, whatever.
Yeah, once every, you're right. Once every decade you get a guy.
But this was like, we're filming it.
Yeah.
Spike Lee is directing it. There's no other shot. You're not going to sell out an arena twice.
Nah.
It's like, this set is what fucking matters. So that is another element to that that's really cool. It's like, just the pressure and, you know, all of it and, you know.
But did you have your stand-up be seen before YouTube or any of this shit? To get your stand-up seen, it took, like, a process.
Yeah.
You had to, like, someone had to watch your set at a club or you'd send them a tape and then they'd be like, maybe. And then there was, like, another audition and they're like, we're thinking about doing some specials. And it was like, I remember getting the Comedy Central Presents, which a whole generation doesn't even understand.
I know.
How that was like.
The thing that saved my life, I was going to get that and then COVID happened and I've never been happy. Silver lining of COVID, because that half hour went on to become Live at the Lodge Room.
Yeah.
And the difference in my career.
It's crazy.
It's like insane.
I'll tell you right now what would have happened. Comedy Central would have aired it once.
Yeah.
And then they'd go, we'll buy something from you maybe.
Yeah.
That's all they did. I was like, dude, what's so funny about it is
I ought to suck that bat off. Whoever ate that bat from the Wuhan wet market, dude, saved my life. Yeah.
Stavros, don't do Comedy Central. Have
out. Like, some guy was really plugged into
he's in Cumtown.
A small level comedians.
Stavros got that coming up. I'm a Cumtown guy. Don't do it. I'm in Wuhan. Wuhan loves Cumtown. And bites the fucking head. And they go, what did you do? And he goes, I'll tell you what I did.
It was necessary.
I saved Stavi, baby. I saved her on the South. Yeah. There is, people are mad. Like, I understand both sides of people being, like, mad the industry's gone because it really did keep out a lot of bullshit.
Sure.
But also, the industry didn't know what the fuck they were doing. The whole point of the industry were, like, people that got communication degrees
Did it keep out bullshit?
Yeah. There's a lot of people with 6 million Instagram followers that are selling out theaters that are doing dog shit stand-up.
Wouldn't they have done something else, those people? You know what I mean? Maybe, here's the thing. In an era, if there was a way to be that popular when the industry existed, they would have sucked those people off. Right. The industry was just trying to generate those people.
The point I was making is exactly this. They just didn't have a clue what they're doing. Yeah. You're absolutely right.
They just guessed wrong on who those influencers would have been.
And I don't fault them entirely because I've had jobs where I just wanted to go easy and I want to do well.
Oh, yeah.
And so they would have gone, well, this guy's got 6 million.
Yeah,
because that's
all
Netflix is doing right now is they're going like, do you have 15 million followers? Here's an hour special. We love it.
Yeah.
And then we'll bring out this old celebrity that's doing a movie for $500 million to interview. Yeah, I mean,
it's the classic, the way all of society has gone, where it's like at the very top, you get way more than any human being needs, right?
Well,
like $50
or knows what to do with.
Right. And then it's like the bulk of it is, like, they put out 52 specials or whatever a year, and a lot of people are putting out specials, but it's like a lot of it is just things you can make cheap, right? It's a lot of throwing shit at the wall.
It's Walmart. All Walmart.
And it's high and low, right? So, but the high, because it's a business, it's not art, it's not the best. They don't have, like, a panel of who's the best, right? Sure. There's no, like, that doesn't exist. There's no, like, you know, Michelin. There's no secret comedy critics.
I would
that
love
would be
a
awesome.
Zagat guide.
They come in and they see like 7 shows on a tour and they do an aggregate score. That would be fascinating, right?
I would. Some of you motherfuckers would be real worried. Because I'd be coming to eat your fucking score up.
Yeah,
I'd love that too. I'd be hitting 400 on these motherfuckers.
Well, see, I feel also because like, look, I
want that so bad now.
It would be awesome.
I want that smoke so bad.
It would be awesome. Because I do think there's something to comedy where it's like, ideally, I don't think a special is what stand-up is. I think stand-up is
the road,
the random show.
Yeah.
It's your aggregate.
Yep.
But then again, you could say that I'm coping and I'm a regular season player. I'm James Harden.
You're Peyton Manning.
Yeah, I'm Lamar.
Yeah.
I'm Lamar. I'm dazzling. One regular season, there might be a moment at a show of mine. You're like, that's how did that happen?
This is the most incredible moment of my life. They do that moment where they go, I'm seeing art.
Yeah. I do think I've had some spontaneous moments that are like.
That's really interesting because there are people that we both know that I would say when they do specials, it doesn't come out well.
Sure.
Like, I see their
great
shows.
Comics.
I see their
the
shows
opposite,
and I go, like, this is phenomenal.
By the way, the opposite. There are people who I think are just shrewder about how things are actually perceived.
Yeah.
Who are not day-to-day are fine, but know to bring it and know to plan and might even get, like, people to punch their shit up and might do reshoots, like you're saying about Pryor. Something that, to me, sounds insane.
Insane.
To me, it's all got to be...
It's the show. The show.
Ideally, there's no editing.
Yeah.
To me, the platonic ideal of a stand-up special is you do not... The only edits are camera angles, but you don't cut anything out. Now, that's not how things work. That's not production. You'd have to be...
This is the first time I'm finding out this isn't how things work.
Yeah.
This is so funny. Is that how stupid and idyllic I am? I'm like, fuck. But maybe I shouldn't have tried. I tried real fucking hard. But it is, I remember the first time I found out, it was, I think it was like Amy Schumer's special.
Mm-hmm.
Norman was telling me that they would like stop and she'd be like, I didn't get that joke right.
Right.
I'm going to do it again. Right. And they would do it and you're like, that's crazy.
It seems insane to me.
Every time I filmed a special, you film 2 shows and I go, well, I did the show.
Right.
And then I did the second show and the second show was great.
So yeah.
Or the first show.
Yeah, use 80% of the second show.
Yeah.
Put a couple moments from the first one. Cut it. That cut a couple pauses, maybe. That
maybe
kind of
if show. I flubbed a line. I remember the HBO special. I flubbed a line, and the guy, the editor, was like, "Oh, let's take it from the second show." And he like fucking superimposed it. And you're like, perfect.
Yeah.
But that's why you have two shows. But you're right. There are people who are. Here's my thing is, I think my insecurity is I'm not savvy. Mm-hmm. So I get insecure about people that are savvy where I'm like, where I do the thing where you go like, you got to play the game the right way. And they go, there are no rules of this game.
Yeah.
So you're making up your own rules.
No, I actually do agree. Unfortunately, because I have the same thing where I like, I do wish that it was about art and it was a meritocracy.
Well, you wish government was about representation of the people.
Right. Absolutely.
Nothing is what it is.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You wish like ESPN covered sports.
Yeah. Right.
Like they didn't throw fucking slop down our throat.
Yes. 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 Absolutely. It would be fuck. I want all that shit to happen, but then you're like, no, that's not how it is. Also, it's like, this is entertainment. It's bullshit.
Yeah.
No one deserves anything.
No.
Oh, you're the best artist? Who gives a fuck? Go be a teacher.
Yeah.
Go be a fucking social worker.
Yeah.
Like, that is kind of the level I hit where I was like, I don't deserve this life.
Dude.
I didn't deserve when I wasn't successful. Like, I just got to fuck. Like, my 20s were like fucking around with my friends. You know what I mean? Going to shows. I wasn't building a life. That was awesome.
Yeah.
I didn't deserve that.
So
then I'm going to complain because either some rich kid whose dad is a fucking executive at fucking Paramount or some like hot girl who just, is good at fucking internet marketing or just like, am I going to complain that they're ahead? No. Life isn't fair. This shit. There's no rules in entertainment.
No,
it doesn't matter. There shouldn't be fairness here.
That's why
there should be fairness in everything else.
Yeah.
This is all bullshit.
Entertainment is it's make believe.
Yeah,
it's playtime.
Yeah,
you're right. There shouldn't. And I think that's
let's get people fucking health and let's get people health care. that's where we need a baseline of fairness. Not in this bullshit.
You can have like hardcore opinions in entertainment and be like, I don't think they should fucking have it. They should fucking and people will be like. Like both sides will be like, yes. And you go, everyone should have healthcare. And they'll go, you fucking libtard. And you go, how are you mad about getting healthcare?
Well, I'm a show business Republican.
Hey guys, if you're looking for a place to get meals that are prepared for you, maybe you're busy. Maybe you're running around and you're like, I don't have time to sit and cook, but I want something that isn't just McDonald's or processed. You know what I mean? You want a good meal. Check out Factor Meals. They got variety. That's the importance. That's the important part. Choose from a wider selection of weekly meal options like premium seafood choices, salmon, shrimp. No extra cost. Plus, you get to enjoy more GLP-1 friendly meals and the new Mediterranean diet option. That's the biggest thing about dieting is you're just like, well, what do I eat that doesn't make me a fat piece of shit? And you're like, well, maybe listen to Factor. They can get you a good healthy dietary schedule where you're eating delicious stuff like salmon. And for the first time, try Asian-inspired meals with bold flavors influenced by China, Thailand, and more. Eat smart at factormeals.com/soder50off and use code soder50off to get 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. That's code soder50off at factormeals.com for 50% off plus free shipping. Get delicious, ready-to-eat meals delivered with Factor.
I'm a show business Republican. I'm a show business, like, pull yourself up by your bootstraps.
Yeah.
No one's here to help you.
Yeah.
And I'm a real life, leftist, whatever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where it's like, no one fucking cares.
Yeah.
Oh, you're you have connections? Great. Use them. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
I think one of my biggest faults was that I was ignorantly an idealist in stand-up. And I was going it's a meritocracy. You gotta
if you're
good, you'll get to the top. And which it does happen sometimes.
Yeah. Here's the thing, it doesn't hurt to be great.
Well, real. Like, but like, I would say two people that we both, Nate and Shane,
were both great, so good,
they didn't have to really play the game. They just went and were great and got over.
Well, I mean, I think they were both really, but still they were very shrewd. I mean, like Nate knew what the fuck he was doing. He didn't stick around here. He knew he was in Tennessee.
He's like, Middle America's where I'm
Middle America, I'm going to build my, he was an old fashioned kind of like, let's build it up through my, yeah. I'm going to be so good. My theaters are going to become 1,000 seaters to 3,000 to 6,000 to little arenas. And I'm going to build this shit like an old fashioned business. And Shane was really shrewd because He knew he had a lot of eyeballs on him. Nobody knew what the who he really was after the SNL thing.
Yeah, for real.
And what did he do? He fucking put out Gillian Keeves. He put out a great special. He harnessed those eyeballs, and he just catapulted himself. And he's been doing great tires. His, you know, more, you know, staying on the road. Like, they were both very smart still.
And something that I saw, but, and, you know, this is kind of on topic of what we're talking about with, like, being shrewd and stuff. I was really impressed when Shane got fired from SNL for not leaning in to the people that wanted him to lean into it.
You know, being outwardly racist was like the Green Goblin mask.
Yeah, where it's like, do it, Shane.
You can have all the power.
He's on
the roof with the Bud Light going, stop being gay.
It's like, do it.
I live it.
Call Dylan Mulvaney a slur.
Oh, you can
call Dylan Mulvaney a slur.
Watch.
Abandon Bud Light.
Watch World Star videos and say what you really think. And he goes, I can't. But it is, I mean, that kind of like, you know, you can sometimes in entertainment, you can see things where you go, I could go down that road.
Yeah.
And that's why it's crazy when you watch people do that and go, I'll go down that road. Totally. You almost go, you can understand
pathetic,
it. But then you go, that was an easy.
You can't. I don't understand. I mean, you understand.
No, I'm saying I understand because you see you'll like see an avenue open up. Like when I was doing Billions, they were like, there came that moment where the people that represent me and stuff were like, you ready to be an actor? And you're like, I don't want to be an actor.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're like, no, you can still do stand up, but like we're really gonna.
And
you're like, I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
But I'm saying I saw that avenue.
Totally.
Where if I wanted to be like, can I be on NCIS New Orleans? And then you catch me going, well, I look like this man when I got ripped up by a fork.
You'd be great, by the way. As a mongoloid in the trenches.
And they go, well, it's a swamp man.
Saw gay guy in the gator.
Oh,
gator horse.
The gator, my pet gator.
Yeah. You found a butt plug. Your gator shits out a butt plug. And you're like, I think they threw the gay guy in here.
Mr. Detective Man. And they go, oh, our star witness. Did you see Soder's the star witness at NCIS New Orleans? He does a cross eye the whole time, like Sandler's friend.
They're gonna spin you off with Wilder Valderrama. Yeah. You guys get your own show.
He goes, Nathan, buddy. We gotta go through this swamp man. Spaniard in the swamp man. I got $1,000 cash money. Do you remember Yo Mama?
I do remember Yo Mama.
Dude, also, can we
hilarious stuff?
Put Wilder Valderrama on the Mount Rushmore of hit lists. Derek Jeter, Pete Davidson, Wilder Valderrama.
The problem with him is I don't think we want to be digging a little too deep into the ages of some of that list.
Oh, yeah, boy. Yeah, yeah. By the way, boys from the 90s, those expiration dates are hitting.
Yeah.
Milk's going bad for a whole generation of boys.
It's going real bad.
Could you imagine you're like,
He's in the Jared Leto zone.
Nothing's better than 17-year-old pussy.
It's crazy.
And then in 2025, everyone's going, what?
Dude, yeah, it's fucking insane.
Did you see that Anthony Anderson interview with Lindsay Lohan when she's like 17?
She's a person that got Britney Spears is like, why do you think these people go insane? Because society fucking completely sexualized them from the time they're like
children,
10 years old.
Lindsay Lohan, though, first off, phenomenal facelift. Insane. She went to the guy that's fixing everybody.
Some guy's on a generational run right now.
I mean, he's just going.
There is a fucking surgeon like, where it's like, oh my God. I feel like I'm watching like second season Heat LeBron.
Yeah. He's just doing that. His nurse.
60% from the field.
His nurse throws it up while he's doing it. He's also, I mean, it really is like cue the 80s music where he's like, I think you're going to like your face.
Yeah.
Holiday. Dude, Chris Jenner, insane. Lindsay Lohan.
Chris Jenner, she's an old woman.
She did the same guy that Lindsay
Lohan. Lindsay Lohan, it's like, all right, I get it. She's a young person, relatively speaking. Kris Jenner is an old woman, dude.
He fixed Donatella Versace.
Oh, my God.
She doesn't look normal, but she looks...
But she was looking...
Yeah, she looked like fucking Ron Perlman in Beauty and the Beast.
She's looking real Muppet-ish.
It was fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Donatella...
She looked like dark... what was the Henson?
Yeah.
That's
what she looks like now, though.
Oh, yeah. It's not,
see what I mean? Yeah. She like kind of fucking...
Dark Crystal.
Yes.
The Jim Henson like...
Spooky. She's spooky, a spooky Muppet.
Spooky Muppet. Yeah. Which is a good movie, by the way. Dark Crystal. Check it out.
But Lindsay Lohan... I would say Lindsay Lohan is... she's like entertainment's Rambo.
I love her. I mean, dude.
They gave up on her.
Yeah,
she came back.
She came back.
And she's like, they're all gone. Yeah. They're all fucking dead. Raven Simone, they're all fucked. But she went through hell. Parents, both parents sucked.
Yep.
Threw her to the wolves. She got famous. Remember when she tried to kidnap that kid in, where was it? Abu Dhabi?
No, I don't remember that, but I saw.
Oh, my God, the live stream.
She tried to straight up kidnap a child.
She goes, come with me. You'll eat food with me?
Oh, no.
You come with me? And the kid's like,
a brown kid?
Yeah, he's like, what? Who's this freckled-ass lady? Well, she lives in, like, Abu Dhabi now.
Oh,
or
that's
doesn't
no
she
good.
Live in, like, Qatar? Or...
That's no good.
Well, that's, like, the funding. That money?
Oh, dude, that's scary stuff.
By the way, don't think that. If you think for a second comedy is not right behind that. If you think we're
They're
not going to be seeing
one
guys
right now, there's a fucking like a Saudi Arabian fucking festival, dude.
Really?
Yeah, it sucks.
Oh my God, dude, seeing me,
it's
watching
tough.
Me sell out, being like, Riyadh.
No, no,
what's
I was talking
up
to
with
DeStefano.
Dating?
I think he is literally doing it.
DeStefano is?
I believe so. Yeah,
come on,
yeah,
Chrissy.
Yeah. I think so.
Come on, Chrissy.
I think some names we're not going to like are doing it.
It's what yeah. I think is so funny is.
I mean, but then again, I do it even though it is whatever. I mean, they literally Saudi Arabia. Did 9/11, we're just going to kind of let that one slide, I
completely
guess.
Completely funded it.
Completely funded whatever.
Completely funded like, 9/11. By the way, paid for the airplane classes in Tucson where I was living. where I think, I'm not true, but I think you can look up the guys. This might be one of those things where real life is funnier than anything can think of.
Yeah.
I truly think they only took classes on how to take off.
Of course. That's a classic like.
Where you're like, I don't know at this point if that's a
right,
joke.
Because I remember hearing that from like in like 2002.
Yeah, where they
like
were
a
like.
A fun little like, hey, silver flight, lining. Pretty hilarious.
You want to know the popsicle stick joke of this? Yeah. They never learned how to land. And you go, what the fuck? How are you the flight instructor and you're not like, you know?
Hey, fellas, y'all want to maybe land?
He goes, I probably had a beer with him at Golden Nugget in Tucson. He goes, I'm a flight instructor and these Saudis, man. If this is real. So they said, for example, Masari, who was arrested prior to the 9/11 attacks and later charged as a co-conspirator, enrolled in a flight training school in Minnesota. They also did it in Tucson, though. I know that for
I
a fact.
Florida, too.
According to the flight school, only expressed interest in learning takeoffs and landings.
Oh, interesting.
Claiming it was for ego boosting. Okay, so there was landings. I thought they were just like, just takeoffs, we're good.
Yeah.
And they go, why? They go, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I thought, too.
Oh, look at her bow, dude.
Is she still with him? No. I don't think so.
Multi-millionaire husband.
Oh, good for
her. She looks great.
Looks great. Listen, Mean Girls, legendary comedy.
Right. Unbelievable. I mean, Parent Trap when she was a little girl.
Sure.
She did the reboot of Parent Trap, unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Herbie the Love Bug.
We're the same age. A lot of the like people that were sexualizing her on magazine covers, as a 16-year-old boy at the time, I was eating very good off of those things. Her tits were out and about. I was jacking off to. I was jacking off to periodicals.
Yeah,
I had like my friend. She would have like Cosmo or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and I just would straight up be like,
"Can I see that?"
You go, like,
oh, 16 tips to driving wild. I should probably read this. He was jerking off to her in a sundress. You go, I need 5 ways to communicate with my man.
There's one particular Cosmo one with I think there's a purple background.
Oh, we'll find it.
I can
it.
See it in my mind's eye right now.
Talking about what you slang nut to?
Oh, yeah.
Because my brother in Christ.
yeah.
You have to understand, Britney Spears, Rolling Stone, mm-hmm. wearing the American shirt
yes.
cover. Not the one where she's laying on the bed. That one was
sure.
too Lolita.
Yeah, yeah.
It's too Lolita. There's one where she's wearing like red leather pants. Jerking off to periodicals.
It's awesome stuff, man.
Because I'll tell you right now, I'll dial up that Britney Spears in 2 seconds. That thing
I think
was,
I know that one because Britney Spears had an era where she was really like her abs were pretty shredded.
Oh my God.
I was jacking off to that quite a bit. There's a couple music. Oh, not periodicals, music videos.
Oh, music
videos. I did a lot of beating off to
okay.
music videos.
Thank you, because we had Giannis on here. There it is. This was the one where I was Britney Wants You.
Oh, interesting, interesting.
But there's pictures in there that I was like.
Okay, the
that
cover,
was just the cover, but her sure. face, she's so cute. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And by the way, if this is the best part about being 16 when society sexualizes 16-year-olds.
Right. You're like, there is a small silver lining. It's okay for me to want to fuck these girls. I am their age.
Jan Wenner, this is very inappropriate. You're doing this, Britney Spears, but thank you.
Yeah.
Junior in high school, Dan Soder is just tugging.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't like that there's like an Israeli producer telling them to lose layers.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
He goes, come on, you're bun stop.
That's you're no good.
You're bun stop.
Yeah, but me, I'm not that guy.
But then 16-year-old Dan in his bedroom looking at it, and then Trish knocking and going, finally, leave me alone.
I'm reading.
I'm reading.
You always tell me I should read.
But remember Lindsay Lohan where she did SNL and they did Harry Potter?
Yes.
And she was Hermione, and they're like,
yes, I do, Dan. Those quite
big
well.
Titties, and you're
and they were bobbling.
And you're like, Jesus.
How old was she at that?
Look up when she hosted SNL, because that might have been, because that was too much where I was like, oh.
I was still, I don't know if I beat off to that, but it definitely excited me.
I remember the one that I never understood was Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen. And people would like,
E.T.
I was in college and people were counting down to when they're
that
18.
Was really fucking weird.
And you're
weird.
Like, I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, it's bizarre. It was bizarre. It was like, the countdown clocks. There was like websites. If you have a countdown clock, if you wait till the moment someone turns 18, you would beat off to them when they were 16.
Dude, Louis has a bit clock. Right now that is like old school Louis.
Hell yeah.
Heater of a bit about Barely Legal.
Oh,
and it's
no.
Touching on what we're talking about, but he does it in such a Louis way.
Sarah's got that bit too. I think she does. Sarah Tolmash has a bit where it's like, if you like Barely Legal, you'd probably like Not Legal.
Yeah.
You know, which is
it's
awesome.
Also weird because as you get older, like you're in your 30s, I'm in my 40s. And now it's like, I couldn't even imagine. I mean, I can imagine, but I don't think I would want to fuck someone that's under 25.
Yeah.
I just wouldn't be able to talk to you. You know I love talking about being a hypochondriac. I worry and worry and worry and worry. But then you got ZocDoc. And ZocDoc.com helps you find doctors right by you that can tell you if you're being a weirdo or if you actually have a real problem. Sometimes getting a dentist appointment or anything like that can be a dermatologist appointment can be a real pain in the butt. But you go to ZocDoc.com. It's a free app and a website where you can search and compare high-quality in-network doctors and click to instantly book an appointment. So stop putting off those doctor's appointments and go to ZocDoc.com/Soder to find and instantly book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/Soder. ZocDoc.com/Soder.
Didn't that happen with, what's that girl, Bad Baby?
Oh, yeah, Bad Baby.
She made like $80 million or something.
Dude,
crazy
she
shit.
Makes more money than any. She got kicked off Dr. Phil. She spent a couple years being a real fucking problem and popping up on World Star.
I think her life's bad again. I think she has like cancer and like an abusive husband.
She has an abusive husband.
Yeah, I mean, that's no good.
But it's
so, which is also par for the course for like a, like, white trash Italian girl who pretends to be black and was a sex worker. It's like, yeah, she's gonna have an abusive husband.
She doesn't.
That's like the most Florida, like that's the gets, most like I think I've ever heard in my life.
You think she gets turned on by being respected?
Yeah.
Oh, this guy listens to me.
And that's not good for the record. I'm not saying that's good.
We're laughing about
but
it.
But it is the most right down the middle thing. I mean, she just happens to be the most famous one, but how many like white trash girls
strippers.
Pretending to be black that were like either strippers or like whatever they did a lot. That's like a tough retirement
to come out on top.
Yeah.
It's more
it's like
difficult
a running
than
back coming with no CTE.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I didn't take any hits. Yeah. And you go, you were a north south guy.
Yeah.
It wasn't like you were east west. You were lower
There's
shoulder.
There's not a lot of Derrick Henry's out there.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of them.
Like
all playing
thoughts, like I don't get headaches.
Yeah.
And you're really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think there's always this hope that we have for people like her, the same way we have hope for drug dealers in movies.
Sure.
That they're just going to walk away with the money.
Which
where you go, you got
awesome.
The money.
Yeah.
Just go be quiet.
Yeah.
But now celebrities aren't even doing that. That's why like Happy Gilmore 2 was such a bummer. Because you're like, Adam, you're rich. We didn't really need to do this.
I would have, I would have liked it to just focus more on him and Shooter.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like I would have liked it to be like a him and Shooter team up to defeat Liv Golf.
Yes.
That would have been fucking
awesome. Also, that was my whole point with Happy Gilmore 2. Why make it about miniature putt-putt that's going to ruin golf? Yo, there's Saudi money in golf. Do that.
Yeah.
Go, oh, you don't have to make it Saudi Arabia, but you could go like, oh, there's these evil
make
people.
Them tech guys. I mean, they sort of did. I mean, Benny Safdie's character is a tech guy.
But it just wasn't.
I did enjoy. I liked when it was. I actually really liked before it got like super cameo heavy. I really liked the beginning. I felt like
it was the whole thing was so.
The beginning was pretty fun where it's like he's fucking drunk and he's like.
Yeah, but they didn't make it dark enough. Here's the thing.
I liked that they killed his wife and that he's a fucking drunk.
But they could have made it like how she died sucked.
They got me. They killed, hit her in the fucking head with a drive. I mean, it was like.
Maybe on a rewatch.
What did you want it to be fucking Death Wish? You wanted her to get fucking held at gunpoint. Yeah. And then Happy Gilmore becomes a vigilante who fucking kills criminals with fucking drives.
Oh, and then you realize out. And then you find out that he's Casey Jones. Mm. And it bridges into a fucking Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle war. Yes, 100%.
Yeah.
You should have came to me. I would have pitched that.
In the intervening years, he just becomes Casey Jones and becomes Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle. And then the turtles come back and they're like, good to see you, old friend.
Yeah, and he goes.
He's clearly got history with them that we missed completely.
I'm about to kill you. The turtles is going to get you.
Yeah. It felt like they did it fast. It felt like Happy Gilmore 2 was done fast and just like, oh, they'll love cameos. Marcello and Bad Bunny made me laugh the hardest.
Dude, Bad Bunny
could act.
Is incredibly funny.
Yeah.
Like when they introduce, you know, when you hear the casting and I mean, there's not a movie that was more important to me than Billy Madison, and Happy Gilmore was right up there. So like early Sandler is my comedy, like one of my like
early
foundational
Sandler,
comedy heroes.
He molded most of us.
Dude, you listen to like all his albums and it's all these like silly songs. Like that's half of Cumtown.
I would tell you
it's what a worse version of what he was doing.
What the hell happened to me?
They're all going to laugh at you?
Well, that was the first album. What the hell happened to me specifically? Seventh grade, eighth grade, molded me comedically.
Yeah.
With SNL, with the Jerky Boys.
Of course.
With like other stand-up. Yeah. Stand-up was always on TV. Comedy Central used to actually play stand-up all the time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So those were all the things. But I would tell you what the hell happened specifically. The Cock and Balls sketch. I mean, obviously the GOAT is the GOAT of sketches.
GOAT's great.
Of album sketches.
I mean, at a medium pace is... I don't think I ever laughed harder in my life.
Take that
shampoo bottle and stick it up your ass.
But that's what
talk about laugh. Your ex boyfriend's dick and how big it was.
I mean, that's they're all gonna laugh at you.
Yeah,
and how to beat up a Spanish teacher.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Tollbooth Willie was on the first one.
Willie's incredible.
Carter, go fuck yourself. Yeah, yeah. But what the hell happened? All those sketches stick in my mind because I liked They're All Gonna Laugh at You, but like, what the hell happened to you is a thing like I would wake up and put it on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he'd be like, why don't you play with your cock and balls? Or he's like, oh, that smells like a skunk.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know what it smells to me? Like this old guy's asshole when I had sex with him. You know when they all go to like, oh, we went to this water park and this old man's balls flopped out. Oh, they were so gross. Holy jeez, I wanted to lick them. That line lives in my head. Holy jeez, I wanted to lick them. And it is you know what it reminds me of? Happy Gilmore 2 was like watching Mike Tyson fight Jake Paul.
Ooh, I think it's a little better than
that. It was not a little better than that. With the spectacle,
Mike
with the
Tyson
lead up.
Didn't even have a single good moment. To me, Happy there was Gilmore at least was a couple not, good moments.
Happy
but
wasn't funny in Happy Gilmore.
That's a valid criticism.
He was silly.
I think he was only funny in the very beginning.
But I don't even think that. Like, I hated the part where he went out golfing with the young people.
Didn't
it was
love
like
that.
Sloppy. And also
didn't love that.
It wasn't
it also
funny.
Didn't
feel real.
In the narrative too, like those were completely unnecessary characters. I mean, I guess it was cool to get Margaret Qualley in there and
Eric Andre.
You know, I love Eric, but
me too. But his movie here's the thing about it is he does Bad Trip.
So funny.
And it's one of the funniest movies in the last 10 years.
There is no one his genre, the fact that he was able to figure out how to take sort of what makes the Eric Andre show special. And make a movie that sort of half blends. I mean, I guess it's in the tradition of like Borat, if you're going to say that, it's like half and half.
Yeah. It was Borat and Jackass mixed with Eric Andre.
Yes. And that movie's so fucking
I mean,
funny.
Dude, Tiffany Haddish coming out of the bus while the dude is cleaning up and he goes, I ain't see nothing. and the guy comes back, it's just one of the best scenes.
Yeah.
I mean, chasing around the mall, there's just stuff that you're like.
I mean, the dream sequence, the wedding is,
it's
that's
great.
Another moment that I
Little
love
Rel
so
is perfect in it.
Yeah.
It's like the nervous friend that doesn't want him to use his car. It's just.
Yeah, that's actually, when people talk about recent comedies, that should really get, that might be one of the best recent, it might be the best.
Making me laugh.
Yeah.
Bad Trip made me laugh harder than anything I can remember in the last 10 years. Yeah. Like I had like, I just saw the Naked Gun.
It was really good.
That's what he said. I heard Naked Gun was really good.
It was good.
Yeah, I want to see it.
You should see it.
It's just like, you know what's funny? It's like a pacing. If they can get like the joke and then like.
And they did.
A joke plays off a joke and then joke is like.
No, no, it's that. It's joke a minute.
Yeah.
And there's a couple. And you know, when you do joke a minute, some are fucking bangers. Some are just like keeping the ball moving. But there are like. There are a couple set pieces in that that made me laugh so fucking hard.
Good, and I love There's that like, Pam Anderson's banging.
She's good.
She's banging Liam Neeson now.
I thought she, yeah, she is, which is awesome. Oh. I thought she was better. I mean, Neeson was good.
Yeah.
He was. It was smart to kind of take someone who's already in that genre and kind of like, because they kind of molded it to his genre of old guy action movies,
right.
Which was smart.
That's
really,
what you got to
really
do.
Smart. I mean, I think, I mean, it was directed by Akiva from The Lonely Island, and MacGruber, pop star, like
that's another Bad Trip and MacGruber.
MacGruber
are the last 10 years, I think.
MacGruber's
like,
not 10 years, dude.
Really?
I hate to break it to you, right?
No
I think
way.
It's close.
Oh fuck!
I think it's really close.
What a fucking.
You know what? It's not because I moved here 10 years ago. MacGruber was already out. Yeah, sorry, man.
God damn it, dude!
You're old as hell.
Fuck! It's 15 years old.
You're old, motherfucker. We're both dying.
We got it. We got to make our money and go away.
Yeah. No, that's my plan for sure.
Me too.
That's my plan for
What's
sure.
Where do you want to retire?
I really love being in New York. Like, I recently got, like, I'm subletting a place in Manhattan.
Are you staying there yet?
I am, yeah, yeah.
You slept there?
Slept there.
When? Yep.
Like, this week.
Okay.
I love it, though.
Because I did your podcast last week, and I don't know if you had slept there yet.
I didn't. I think I slept there the first.
Is this
that
haunted?
Was the first night. It was not haunted. It's cool.
Doesn't feel haunted?
Doesn't feel haunted at all.
It's an old building.
It's a big place, too. Yeah, so, I had moments where I was like, you know, when you're just like, you don't want it to be haunted, but you're like, I'm going to just check and see if there's ghosts.
Yeah.
And there were my ghost radar is not on at all, dude. And I get scared.
The reason
easily.
This apartment is so comfortable to me, because I know it's new enough that it's no ghosts.
Oh, there's going to be, really soon, there's going to be like tech guys who have jumped off this.
Oh, yeah. Hey,
penthouse.
Bro, just change my channel. Why does he keep putting on Pat McAfee? I'm trying to watch something. It's like, bro, this guy's savage. That's The Haunting. This guy's so savage, bro. The way he says stuff.
Yeah, I love, I mean, I think one thing I've learned is that, I don't know, sometimes it's okay for certain things just be, you don't have a choice in them, right?
Yeah.
I love, like, Baltimore, I'll never fully get away from it. I don't want to. I love it.
Sure.
I want that to be, and New York, I just love being here, dude.
It's,
and I think I want to stay here no matter what. And, like, go to Greece. I like travel when I don't have to work is awesome.
It's the best.
So I like traveling. So I think it's just the kind of thing where, you know, every year of my life, I've gotten a little bit, since I've gotten successful, I've, like, let my career dictate things a little less. I focused on my health a little more.
Great.
I'm still not exactly where I want to be. This year ended up being much busier than I thought it was going to be, it's for cool stuff, yeah. Right? And then, the plan is to do a special kind of early next year, early-ish next year, maybe like early spring next year, late February, early, or maybe March. Somewhere between late February to late March, somewhere in that window. And then I want to fucking kind of chill, get a cool place in New York. Even from being in Manhattan for a week, I'm like, it's awesome.
Shit,
dude.
Jams.
So sick.
It fucking rules. It was like a thing where we did it, and like the second we did it, what's funny about it is we moved in this apartment the week I left the Bonfire.
Oh, wow.
And I live.
That's probably psychologically very good.
Well,
I know you mean you're close to where
it was just there. Like, yeah. I live two blocks away from the train that drops you off in the building of the Bonfire.
Yeah.
My commute to work would have been 10 to 15 minutes.
Sure.
And instead I was coming from Queens.
Yeah.
For
that's a tough commute.
For the 6 years I was going, which wasn't that bad. But then Jersey, when I was living with Katie, and it was every day I was like, I got to go through this tunnel or take the bus over. And I was like, this fucking sucks.
Yeah.
And then I moved in. But when you moved into New York, New York's taken a lot. Listen. It's New York. So it's never great.
But I like that.
But it's never
it's kind of
as bad as Fox News says it is.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, it's kind of back to the beginning of this conversation where it's like, what I love about New York is that, like, you can be the literal richest guy in the world and your life's not that comfortable. No. You're still a, you still kind of are just a you still have to go on the train. Yep. You still walk places.
You have to go, if you want a coffee, you're going to have to go in the Dunkin' Donuts that everyone else goes in.
Yeah.
It's not a gated community. Totally. You're not away from everything. Totally. You're like,
you're just like, and even like the places you get aren't, they can, you know, if what you want is complete luxury, if what you want is to be left alone, if that's the kind of person you are, not the city for you.
No.
But like, I grew up in Baltimore. I like living somewhere. This is the best shitty place.
Yeah.
It's like the best. Really, it's the best that's shitty place. That's the perfect place.
Description of New York City.
It's the absolute best. It's like the
best shitty place you'll ever go to in your life.
It's a millionaire shitty place. Yeah. Yeah. You know what I mean? And it's like.
What I think is interesting about it is so shitty. Doug Stanhope, if you want to watch, I think it's the special No Refunds that he did at Gotham, where he tapes it in New York. The opening monologue he gives, he's smoking a cigarette and he's walking down the street and he talks about why comedy works in New York City, because he describes how shitty New York City is. Yeah. And he goes, because even, and basically the points you were making, he goes, even if you have it good, you still have it bad. It still sucks.
Yeah.
And he goes, and that's why comedy works here, because people need to laugh when they're all stacked on top of each other and everyone's smushed into this.
And there's just a ton of people. And the good things about it, everyone gets to enjoy.
Yeah.
Right? Like there's places like Florida. So many people with so many like ultra billionaires live there, right?
Sure.
They have private fucking beaches.
Yeah.
They have fucking private jets. They have their own like social clubs, whatever. And look, I'm sure there's like, obviously, there's so many rich people here that there is like an elite.
Well, you have
Jeffrey Epstein's townhouse, for example. I mean, that's still going on. There's some kind of crazy ring even still going on here. But look, museums. The cultural stuff, the restaurants, like everyone gets to enjoy that shit. You can be poor and enjoy 90% of what New York has to offer.
You won't be gated out.
And you can't do that anywhere else. What's good about other places that's like that rich people live is just you don't get to, like, I loved that when I first moved here and I had no money. I lived in a fucking box with no window. You want to talk about living in a storage unit? I essentially did.
Me too.
You know, like, yeah, we both talked about that. Yeah. We both did. We both lived in windowless rooms in Astoria the first few years we were here.
Yeah, if you would have walked in it, I would have looked like Bane in that fucking prison with my back bent over. And I'd be like, well, I'm successful that I can have a window.
Yeah.
But it is.
And you can just fucking walk around and.
But you were just saying about Epstein, about who do you think the first I was after Epstein got caught. That was like, you guys want to get the group back together?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Dude,
chill
out. We're in trouble. He goes, I know. Like, just miss the parties.
We'll fuck 20-year-olds for a little
bit.
Miss
the party.
We'll fuck malnourished 20-year-olds for a while. It won't be the same.
When Epstein got caught, we did this bit on the bonfire about Epstein's friend who is realizing he's a pedophile while being on the island, where he goes, yeah, why do you have a whole fridge of Capri Suns? Like stuff like that. He goes, your room upstairs is just filled with teddy bears. Yeah. It's fucking crazy.
Oh, dude, I took a wrong turn and ended up in a ball pit.
But it was like also sexual. There's like sex swings in there. So it's just a different vibe. It's so funny because it is like the ultimate. He was like the ultimate guy to get you canceled.
Yeah.
You canceled?
I guess not.
But
you could just
be
the president.
Yeah, but we're watching.
Not to get. I hate to lib out this hard.
This isn't.
But it's like the president's a pedophile.
This isn't. It's, you're talking about decency.
I know.
We're not even talking. Like the thing that is making me laugh about this Epstein thing is like people who are, first off, fuck all politicians. I know you're liberal. I am from the school of.
I don't even consider myself a liberal. I consider myself to the left.
You're a compassionate, progressive.
Leftist, progressive. Because liberals in America have become Republicans who want to get you fired for saying slurs.
Yeah.
That's all they are now. Yeah. The mainstream Democratic Party. But go ahead. Keep going. I know you have very South Park politics.
I have very.
Yeah. I know South Park has molded your life in many ways.
100%.
Yeah.
100% South Park, where I just think they're all phony fucks. And I think they're all manipulating people in order to make their own money. But a lot of them are
many of them.
When they were like, crazy. Oh, what if they get Clinton? You're like, fuck him.
I don't care.
Fuck Hillary Clinton.
else should be fucking go to jail or executed.
I would prefer them to be publicly executed. Yeah. If you want to know where I'm at. I say we let a couple of the parents behead some of these sons of bitches. Yes,
absolutely.
We go full Saudis. If the Saudis are going to take over our sports and our entertainment, can we at least have their forms of punishment?
Ooh, that's true.
Can we start fucking cutting hands off thieves and shit?
Alibaba
in the 70s. Like, let's fucking start chopping off hands.
I think thieves can go to jail. I think we can chop their dicks off.
Yeah, like, I'm all for it.
How about this? Chop their dicks off. Okay, the worst offenders get executed.
Yes,
we chop some of their dicks off, and they have to stay in jail, dickless, in a horrible life sentence.
Yes,
that would be good.
And I also believe that members of Congress and Senate should be on the same health care that their poorest constituents are on.
I love that.
I think their poorest constituents in your county, whatever you're representing in government, that's your medical insurance.
Absolutely.
You don't get to get fucking dental because you're in D.C.
100%. Fuck that.
You're in fucking, bumfuck Mississippi, and you're like, I'm a proud Republican. Guess what, fucko? You get their dental and their health care and their vision.
Yeah.
Fucking fix it.
And you have to wear overalls shirtless, too.
And you get that every time you're fucking in there. That's got to suck to be like smart and be from Mississippi.
In high school, I had like an organic chemistry. He was like, they brought him in special to teach like the smartest kids.
Yeah.
And he was just, he had the thickest Southern accent.
And then you go, I don't believe any of this
and
science.
And he was so like, we're not dumb. You know, he was like, we are not dumb. And he was just so smart.
He goes, a plasma conveyor. And you go, this is all, what is this, swamp science?
Did they put me in that class? I don't know how. Because I cheated a lot and I would get into like.
Shout out.
In math and science, I would cheat. So sometimes if I cheated too good, I would be put into like classes I was not.
No one ever tells you that. Don't, children. Children that are watching this. We're trying to save you from files. But also we're trying to teach you how to cheat better. Cheat.
Yeah.
Don't cheat too good.
Cheat too.
You know what?
That happened to me in history, and then I just ended up being good at history.
Well, history's
That's
fun.
How I got into AP history. I cheated in the regular one, and then I was like, I'm fucked. Then I was like, hey, I like this.
It really is. Dude, that's so funny. I got into the, in middle school, I was a horrible student. Like, I was going to fail eighth grade or whatever. Like, I was getting all Fs. And it was the War of 1812. I got like super into it. And I started memorizing it. And then I was like, yo, this shit kind of rocks.
Yeah,
and then I was into it and I was like, oh, this fucking. And then I got a good grade.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this is.
It feels awesome.
Yeah.
But that didn't happen to me in organic chemistry. I failed so fucking hard.
But cheating is when you cheat too good and they think you're smart. When I was in college, I had to get my degree. I had to pass a foreign language thing. Mm. This might get me in trouble. So we might have to edit this out.
I think you're fine. You thought MacGruber happened 3 years ago.
Yeah.
It was a long time since you were in college.
I graduated class.
I hope the dean doesn't take my degree away.
Oh, no. 20 years later. They go, we didn't even know you went to school here. But I had to take a French class. Like, to get a journalism degree, you had to have, like, a certain amount of foreign language. Mm-hmm. I didn't know any foreign language. I didn't take foreign language. I took it in high school.
Yeah.
Didn't remember it. Dude, I got through a year, and then it got difficult, and I started to have to cheat. And you're supposed to do two full years. I did a year and a semester, and then I found out. This is when I started doing stand-up, my senior year. And they were like, can you prove you make money traveling? And I could do correspondence classes.
Wow.
And so I was like, yeah. I brought in, like, three pay stubs from, like, different comedy clubs. And I was like, yeah, I could go on the road. I was going on the road, like, once every 3 months.
Of course.
But they were like, oh, total. And I... brought my work stub in from the radio station. And I go, I work full time at the radio station. And I do stand up. And they were like, yeah, you can do correspondence. Well, then I like read, this is getting.
So you had to talk to them in French?
This is being too good at cheating.
Okay.
So I looked at the rules, and the rules were assignments were 2/3 of the grade. Right. And then the other third was the midterm and the final.
Mm.
I was taking a lot of poli sci. I had a poli sci minor. So I was taking a political science class. And this girl that was in my group project lived in France. She was like, oh, I lived in France for the last 3 years. And I was like, oh, so you're fluent. She was like, yeah. And I brought my workbook and I was like, how hard is this assignment? And she goes, this is like basic English for you.
Yeah.
And I was like, if I gave you $500, could you just do this workbook? And
that's
she went,
awesome.
Yeah. And so she did the workbook. By the way, it took her a week.
Yeah.
Like she came in and
I didn't semester.
I did not have $500. Yeah, so I was like giving my paychecks. I was like signing over my paychecks to her being like, I think that
you probably went high too. I bet you would have done it for less.
I bet she would have done it for 100.
Yeah.
It was so easy. I didn't realize how easy it was for her. But she does the whole workbook, right? And then I take it home, and I copy it in my handwriting, and I'm getting like 10 out of 10 on assignments. Ball. Yeah. And you're like, oh, very good. I'm doing well. I know what that means.
Yeah.
And then, dude, I went in and took the midterm and got like a 15%.
Love that.
And the French teacher was like, what happened? And I was like,
I have anxiety.
Yeah. It's literally what I said. I'm not a test taker or whatever.
Yeah.
And then I turned in the rest of the assignments, all ball.
Yeah. All good.
And then I took the final and got like a 25%. And she was like, I'm failing you. And then I had to go in and go, the rules are 2/3.
Yeah. Of it.
And she went, that's a D. And I went, D's get degrees. And she was, this woman was like, that was the only time I felt like a criminal.
Of course.
Where she was like, I know you. And I was like, I did game the system.
Yeah.
There's nothing you can do.
Yeah. I did the same thing in a physics. There was, you remember the T83 calculator?
Yeah, of course I did. So, dude, I played Tetris on that shit all fucking day.
So you could,
or Snake.
You could program on them. So that means they had like text. Mm-hmm. So I typed in.
You could full on text. There were like $100 calculators.
They were like $200 really? Back in the day. They were expensive.
At my high school, you would borrow it. They would like lease it out to you and there'd be like
That's smart though, because you can't cheat with it. Because I had a physics test and there was half of it was like written and half of it was math problems. And I just wrote the study guide in the T83. I wrote the entire study guide.
Brilliant.
I got 100 on the fucking, brilliant. On the like, ask us questions thing, and I got like truly maybe 3 right of the other half. I still failed.
Yeah.
But it was like,
but you got
no.
But
they didn't.
Go like, oh wow, that written part. You're really good at the written part. Yeah, and you go, math's just not my strong suit, dude. The thing I used to do that was taught to me by an older student that like, so my high school. I went to high school from 97 to 2001. Mm. Computers were not. You would type up papers. But you wouldn't use computers regularly, especially not in school. There was like a computer lab.
The computer lab, of course. I remember the computer lab.
So this older guy, when I was in high school, I had this class with like this guy that was just like a fuck up. And he was like, oh, if you want to cheat, just go type up stuff, change the font to 4, print it out. And then we had soda machines because I had like a giant public high school. And so you just go get a Coca-Cola. You would open the Coke, take a couple sips, pinch it. Put the cap on and then slide it under the label.
Beautiful.
And then you would drink the Coke where it would, so it would, if you walked in, it would just look like a full Coke. But as you were taking the test, if you would like pound Coke, it would go down and the answers would be there. Dude, it was, I'm telling you right now.
Yeah.
I used that over 10 times on tests.
I'd just slide
it in and be like, and people would be like, you were out smoking weed till like 2 a.m. last night. And you're like,
I'm a genius, dude. I don't know. I would get friends from the earlier. I had a whole system where I would get like someone to take 2 sheets of paper, write their answers really hard.
Oh, and then you do the,
and then we would just hand it off like, because it was like B, it was just like multiple choice, whatever. And then we would just hand it off in the bathroom, and then I just had the indentation of all the right answers.
Yeah,
that was awesome.
Did you ever have a friend that was too crazy and was like, I'll just walk in and steal the test?
No, I had a lot of the opposite because I went to like a magnet school and it was these kids scared.
Yeah.
I was the bad influence. Like,
really?
I was the one who was like, I was like, I'd have like, dude, these kids that I would convince to cheat, you know, we're still friends to this day, but they have like, they're like, you know, they work for like, they're either in like higher ed or they're like, you know, go to like one of those like
so those,
big
those
accounting
are their,
firms like Deloitte and shit like that.
Those are their dark days where they're like, Stavros got me to cheat and I've never.
I think they were like the smart kid and they were, and it's like half of the kids are like every family's hope. Because all of us are like poor kids from
Baltimore.
That's
what magnet schools are.
So it was like, so half of them were just like, if I get caught, I'm, you know, their brother's in jail. It's like, they need this shit. And I'm like, come on, man.
It's like a country that you don't even know. It's like Uzbekistan. And you go, I didn't even know it was a country. And they go, I'm it, dude. I'm the one hope.
I get it.
She's fucking cheap.
We never got caught, thank God. One time, the calculus teacher, I think he was old as fuck. And the kid next to me, just happened to be out that day, and I think he knew I was up to something.
Fuck.
And the teacher just sat in that kid's desk.
Oh.
And my whole plan was cheating off of those around me.
Oh.
And I had one kid who just wasn't good at cheating. There's actually a kid who, our JV, I've told the story before, our JV soccer coach gave him pornography not even in a like pedophile way, in like a dude, we're boys way. Like he was so pathetic, he wanted to bond with a child by giving him porn.
Oh my God. But how does that go through your head as a good idea?
This guy was a very funny guy. He also like was I knew that he had robbed some, like we grew up together. We not together, but he grew up in my neighborhood, and I knew that he was a criminal. He was lying about his background. So I had him. I blackmailed him to start. I'm getting playing time, we're gonna have a fucking problem.
I'm not here to stand on the side, or you're going to fucking jail. That is so great. I think I'm gonna sub in. He goes, no, you're not. You go, I'm subbing in.
I think I am. Yeah. Oh, I think I am. And this kid just fucking he was so unsmooth that he finished his test and he just like put his head down. Like he was like, I can't. He was like, he like felt bad about cheating. So he like put his head down, pretended to take a nap, but like left his test fully exposed. And I was like,
you're gonna pull it for everybody. You're fucking Wango. You're gonna get us all caught, dude. Dude, there was guys.
Wango's Wangrove.
Wangrove. I went to high school in the suburbs where people are bored, so they want to do bad shit because they're bored.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you would find a live wire, and he'll be like, "Dude, I'll just straight up fucking go in there the period before and take the test." Like, "What?" And then they'd come out in activities hall and he'd be like, I got it. And you're like, you're out of your fucking mind. And then you're like, give me that. And then they had to like change it up. Dude, there was a guy that was infamous at my high school. He was a junior when I was a freshman. He was so good at cheating that the teachers knew he was cheating. And one time a teacher sat in class and watched him, right? And then he left. They took a test and he left. And the teacher went back to his thing. And he's going through it. And the kid wrote, "You'll never catch me" on one of it. And the guy was like,
"Fucking!"
I don't even know if he cheated that time, but that teacher told me the story. And he was like, "This motherfucker just lived in my head rent free the rest of the semester."
DiCaprio and Catch Me If You Can.
Yeah, dude, he was like, "You'll never catch
Abagnale."
Yeah, he just put it down and he was like, and I bet that kid didn't cheat that one time.
Sure.
But it worked. It fucked that teacher's head up.
It's awesome to be playing those kinds of... I marvel at kids that are playing mind games with adults.
Well, they grow up to hunt people.
Yeah.
This is like... That guy grew up to like... I'm sure he fucking murdered... Turns out that's James Harris from the Aurora shooting. Yeah. You go, God damn it. Now, he was from San Diego.
Okay.
Look into that. Oh, he wasn't from Aurora.
Okay.
And he was also schizophrenic and off his medication.
I forgot.
A lot of Colorado shooting you can blame on the altitude and the people there.
Sure.
That one...
Not homegrown.
No.
Yeah.
That was not a homegrown. Columbine was.
Columbine's
that wasn't. Who else? I mean,
weren't they trying to bomb it and they couldn't figure it out? So they just shot it.
Read that Dave Column book. I think I have it. I can let you borrow it. Columbine by Dave Column is fucking nuts.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Get the long-lasting power you need with Energizer. Menards has the largest in-stock selection of Energizer batteries. They provide solid power for flashlights, remotes, and so much more. Right now, save big on Energizer batteries. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money
at Menards. Their original plan was to, the library was above the cafeteria. Their plan was to blow out the support beams of the cafeteria to bring the library down on everyone. Whoa. In the cafeteria, and then have a cross pattern out in the parking lot where anyone that fled, they would just shoot as they came out.
Holy fuck.
But then the bombs didn't go off. And Eric Harris, who was the psychopath, and Klebold was the follower, he just went in there and just started fucking shooting people. Started in the cafeteria, went up to the library, and then worked his way. And it was like, if you're in Colorado, especially if you're like an older millennial, you remember every moment of that. Because you're just like, holy shit. But that book is amazing. Because the guy that talks about it, it's like his daughter went to Columbine, and he was like one of the head behavioral guys at the FBI. He negotiated with David Koresh.
Oh, wow.
At in Waco. Like, dude, this guy, he was the one that kind of tipped his hand that Chuck Schumer. We might have to edit this out because I this might just be pure conspiracy, but I've read it on the internet, and it was like they negotiated with David Koresh, this guy whose daughter, like he's in Columbine, the book.
Yeah. Thing you read on the internet have not corroborated.
I don't know. I got to look this off. I'm going to tell you right now.
You're just kind of dipping your toes, a little QAnon.
You're
going to get nuts.
You're going to come in, it's going to be all aluminum foil.
And I'm not even saying you're wrong. I'm just saying let's do a little research, Dan, because we are aligned on our hatred for mainstream politicians.
This episode might end up heavy edited after I do some fucking a little bit of research. No, I think where you and I are aligned is where everyone is aligned, where I think most people want to see everybody not suffer.
Exactly. I mean, that's the crazy thing is like that's the baseline thing is that there's so much money in America that the fact that I mean, what's happening is every company has to keep making more and more profits. It's insane. They can't just be profitable and be happy with that. I mean, the example of the Arizona iced tea, it's like, that motherfucker's 99 cents, baby.
He's great, baby.
And he's fine. They're making money. You see that CEO talking. Every other CEO is like, we have to keep making more money. We have to be richer. We have to create shareholder value. It's like, no, you fucking don't. Run a business that makes money, that pays you and pays your employees. And America now, we're just fucking...
Well, you know what it is?
They can't squeeze people anymore, so they're trying to sell off the government, too.
We've also, in this weird fucked up way, idolized CEOs, which is also why we're idolizing politicians. You're not supposed to like the teacher.
No, or the you're not your the boss.
It's your boss. It's like you're supposed to be like, I don't know, he goes to the country club and fuck him. Yeah. And you're supposed to be like Clark Griswold, where you want your crazy cousin to kidnap him if he doesn't give you a bonus.
Yeah, I mean, like, shout out to Luigi. I mean, it's not good. It's not good that anybody do random killing.
You don't want
like,
people dying. But
you don't want people dying, but it's like those people kill someone every day. Like, CEOs are killing people with, like a healthcare CEO is killing somebody by just not by saying that their profit is more important than somebody having access to healthcare. I think that's a problem. It's not the same as gun violence, but it's violence. Like there is violence done by the super rich, and I think basically I'm not even saying you can't be rich as fuck. Be rich as fuck. Burr just said it, where it's like, how about instead of a billion, you have 900 million
and your
employees can get dental insurance or whatever.
I would say the problem is that we let companies have shareholders.
Yeah.
I don't think CEOs and companies should be answering to people that don't work there or use the product.
Yeah. You're telling me like, okay, let's say a company, you buy stock in a fucking somebody who makes lawnmowers or whatever. Right.
Yeah.
And they have a great year.
Yeah.
And you know, the guy, you know, the workers work hard as fuck. Everything's efficient. The managers, everything is like, they figured out a way to streamline everything. They turn a great profit, whatever. Some guy in an office half the country away gets the spoils of that, not the guys who built the fucking lawnmowers.
Do you know how
why don't they get the fucking profits?
But imagine morale.
Just the guy who bet on it?
Imagine morale. Imagine the productivity is if that guy, instead of that shareholder in another city that just gambled on it, and if that's all gone, they have a good year, he comes out to the factory floor, he goes, guys, everyone's getting $2 more an hour
and
Christmas bonuses, and everyone's like, and there's a Christmas party and people are getting drunk and having fun. And by the way, they can buy houses in the area.
Yeah.
They can buy cars. They can get
to
work.
Better for society.
Which then just makes that town strong. And every
societal problem, you talk about like violence, you know, crime, whatever.
It's all money
there's
based.
It's like people are pushed to that stuff.
Yeah.
And if we just had a basic standard of living in this country where it's like healthcare, housing, you know, people could afford to feed their fucking families, that's it.
My problem is, everything you just said, I 100% agree with, right? I feel like we're going to put this podcast out and there's going to be people that are like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
And you're like, what don't you like about that?
You don't think everyone in America should have healthcare, housing, and the ability to feed their families?
And if your answer is like, well, I didn't get to do that, it's like, well, so the fuck what? Dude, you know how lucky I got? I owed over $90,000 because I paid for college myself.
Damn.
When my mom, when I was
to get some bitch to fucking write your essays for you,
for real,
French essays for you.
But by the way, though,
it is 90,500.
90,500. Well worth it for a degree I don't even fucking use. But my mom was like, when I, you know, you have an immigrant mom, and I had a single mom, and there is this like, there is this like Venn diagram where they go, please make me proud. I worked very hard.
Yeah.
This was really, really hard. Please do something that I can go tell my friends that you did. And for my mom, that was like, my mom was college educated. She had to pay for it herself. And she was like, you're going to do that. You're going to please get a college degree just so I feel like I did my job as a mom.
Yeah.
But also she was like, you're paying for it.
Right.
Which gives you so much anxiety.
Totally.
So I told my mom, I go, great. Well, I'm going to go to community college for 2 years, which she knew I would drop out. So then my mom like helped me, and we found this, the Parent Plus loans. And then I registered for Stafford loans and like Sally Mae. I got in company with all those gross motherfuckers.
Yeah.
And I got all these loans. I was only able to pay it back because I did 7 seasons on a Showtime show and I got an HBO special.
Oh my God. I mean, that's
Do you understand that?
You should throw education onto the
basics. I had to be an all-star in the MLB to pay off my fucking college. Yeah. But the point is like, I paid my college loan.
Totally.
I'm fucking, dude, I'll tell you right now. I jerk off to ex-fucks.
Yeah.
Old fucks, but you know what I jerk off more to? That phone call where I said, we're good, and I paid, where they were like, I had $10,000 left, and they were like, okay, so we're going to set a payment. I went, no, 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 I want to pay it, and they don't want you to.
Of course.
They go, no, 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 don't, you don't have to pay it. We can like do it like this, and I went, no, you're going to take my money right now, and hearing that woman go, and I go, what does this do if I,
interest.
And I go, what does this do if I pay it? She goes, then you're clean. You don't owe anything, and I paid it, and it was like, I hung up that phone, I called my mom, and I went, I just paid off my fucking loans.
Yeah.
And I remember being like, oh, like, it didn't matter. The weight off my back. If you told me they were going to forgive college loans, I'd be like, 100% you should do that.
Of course.
I'm not going to go like, I had to fucking get on a TV show. Dude, I got lucky.
Yeah.
I have a fucking awesome, my job is, our job is so much fun.
I know. I don't understand people who get rich and then turn their back on being poor.
Well, because,
it's like, you know, when I needed a fucking tax break, it's not now.
Yeah.
I can pay my fucking tax now. I just don't want to go into the fucking NYPD getting tanks.
Yeah.
I want to go into fucking, you know, like education, healthcare, whatever. I needed a fucking tax break when I was
I wouldn't mind mental services broke. For the people outside the fucking bodega on my corner.
That's another thing. Like, I'm working on a bit about it now, but it's like, cops used to do a lot that they had no business doing.
Yeah, they didn't.
There used to not be ambulances. You know, there used to be cops.
That's crazy.
Like, somebody would break their fucking leg and a cop would show up. It's insane, dude.
Get up.
Get up. You're fucking faking.
My femur, the femur's coming through the skin.
It's a knife.
All right, easy up. Clean up. Hey, better than driving them down the same Presbyterian.
Yeah, but it's like, yeah, it should be, that's a mental health issue.
But
it shouldn't be aggressive people and fucking insane people mixing. Get get a gentle guy.
I don't know. Or even open up an asylum, pay your taxes. I don't know, man. I don't know shit about it.
It's a separate issue from like straight up crime is homelessness.
I wish, two people that have addictions, right? I'm a substance guy, you're a food guy.
Yeah, and substance.
And substance. When you have an addictive gene, you have an addictive gene. What's crazy to me is that no one thinks of wealth hoarding as an addictive gene.
Yeah.
Dude. I wish people who wealth hoarded looked like people who overeat.
Yeah.
So you could go like, dude, if Jeff Bezos looked like a 1,000-pound life, if he was he goes, I love cities.
Yeah.
If he was like all fat, he's like, beautiful wife,
Yeah.
She's like, I love him for him. And he's just a pool of a human being.
Totally.
That would, I wish that's.
It would be nice if there was some kind of like visual marker.
If Elon had to get forklift into the room, like, beep, beep.
Yeah.
He's like, they look like comedy's illegal.
Yeah, because that is what it is. It's resource hoarding. It's like when you see one of those fat monkeys.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, that's what they're like.
But then here's the thing. All I'm saying is I think it would be funny if people who hoarded wealth were really fat. There will be someone in the YouTube comments that's like, fucking libtard soda or whatever. And it's like, hey, You're the fucking loser.
You're sucking your dick.
You're sucking a guy's dick who literally looks at you as an expendable piece of how to make more money. You're pathetic.
You're the fucking batter. They might as well put a fucking, you're the Matrix pod where they would love to just put something in your brainstem to generate electricity. And by the way, they
do. What do you think fucking smartphones are?
You think that
algorithm is helping you?
Yeah.
Dude, snapping out of an algorithm run where you go like,
Dude,
I tried to do this as a joke, but
last night at bed, I want to go to bed early.
Yeah,
and I'm just on my phone, and I hate it. There's nothing good, and then that feeling of being like, I feel like I've done something. I feel like I've actually worked out. Where I'm like, I did it, and it's like, no, you didn't. Yeah. You just wasted an hour.
You know when there's like an alarm going off or a buzzing, and then it stops, and then it feels like empty. That's how it feels when you get off an algorithm. Sometimes,
You're
like, it was just a buzzing that ended. Dude, I was on a plane and there was an old rich lady in front of me, and she had her screen very bright, no screen protector. I watched her scroll. She did Facebook, Twitter, back to Facebook, email, Twitter. And I watched her go. Dude, it was worse than any mushroom trip I've ever had in my life, where I was like, oh, it was like Tucker Carlson, little girl dancing,
no.
A puppy picture, a motivational quote, Tucker Carlson again, Trump.
Yeah.
And then she was like, but she was just scrolling, and you were like, dude, I can't watch someone else's algorithm.
Yeah.
But that's why that's how they're getting us to shut the fuck up. And then the bots that go like, it might be a bot that goes like, these fucking libtards suck. And then someone goes like, yeah. And you go, dude, they're making you look stupid.
I know. I don't understand the like sucking off the people that are making your life bad. It's like they're hoarding wealth. They're like, no one can make no one can make that level of money. They don't work that hard.
Yeah.
You're telling me somebody worked hard enough to make $400 billion?
That's why they're
that much. Like if somebody makes, you know, $90K a year,
but
that guy is worth, I can't even do
people
the math,
in dire
thousands of times more.
People in dire situations right now, though, will look at you and go, yeah, but I'm going to do that. And you go, there's no way you are.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to tell you right now, as someone that's been around very rich people, either because of billions or just because of living in New York City, the ultra rich are very apathetic.
Oh, yeah.
They don't care. Like, it's Tim Dillon's character, for real, for real.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like no kayfabe.
Yeah.
Like an actual guy that's just like, I don't know.
They don't appreciate humanity. And there's some poetic justice to it where it's like, these people's lives are empty.
Yeah.
Like they're not.
Well, it's not. It's empty in the sense of like, there's no nutritional value.
Yeah.
They're just like, everything they have, it's like they live off a life of fast food. There's no like home cooking. There's no grounding. There's no grounding of like, I'm a member of my community. I'm friends with my neighbors.
What's the point of the money?
I mean, I'm not, but fuck that
shit.
I'm going to talk to the fucking apartment F.
I know, Kyle. I met a couple of neighbors. They were pretty nice.
Oh, yeah.
An old couple and a couple of young gals.
Have you won over the African doorman yet?
Yesterday, I asked him about the rooftop.
Watch Dobby's podcast when it comes out with me and Becky Owen, but I'm interested to know what his friendship
is. I asked him about
the
rooftop. He kind of smiled. He's like, you're going to go enjoy the rooftop.
He's like, oh.
He liked that for some reason. You know, he's inscrutable. I don't know what he likes, what he doesn't like.
You like the moon.
Yeah.
I like the moon. So shit like that, we go, I guess I like the moon.
Moon's all. I overdo it. I'm like, dude, I'm a big moon guy.
I'm a lunar head.
Yeah.
I'm a lunar lunatic.
I'm a lunatic.
Goes, then you know that it is a crescent moon tomorrow. And you go, it is. He goes, it's a half full moon. I knew you are full of
is
shit.
Is it waxing or waning? Quick, go. Waning? No.
A gulp.
Get lost.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I think you're one of the fucking best people I know.
Thank you.
And you're one of my favorite people that, like, I'm so happy you're successful.
Thanks, dude.
Because, you know, and also the way you say it is like, it does make me feel less crazy that you go, yeah, dude, there's just no rules and people aren't going to fucking follow no rules. And you go, does make sense.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's
totally.
Like, and by the way, I know some of the stuff I said while we were talking is like idyllic, and I understand that politicians are like, well, that isn't the game.
Yeah.
It's like us comparing politics. It's very similar to entertainment where they go, why go by the rules? So everyone else can not go by the rules and succeed way more than me. And
yeah.
You're like, Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I know it is tough that it's like, it's essentially, it's marketing and it's like, it's not about representative government at all. But that's also why I think the only thing.
I did not know if you were talking about stand-up or politics there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I guess both. But yeah. It's like, it just getting people to know you is the most important thing, which sucks. But also from a societal standpoint, I think the only thing that has kind of gotten me a little more, that's gotten me off the like nihilistic, like, oh, we're, because I definitely spent some time thinking like, oh, we're fucked, whatever. And look, ultimately, maybe we are. But all you can control is, I mean, I do think it starts locally. I do think like if you can help out somewhere, go help out somewhere. I'm working on stuff in Baltimore. My brother, you know, I have family that works in Baltimore City Public Schools. I'm working on doing some programs with kids there. I think it's important to have people that can actually affect your lives at the most local levels.
Local elections are so much more important than anyone gives credit to.
Absolutely.
It literally affects stuff like street cleanup.
Yeah.
Fucking times of garbage pickup.
Absolutely.
You need to know who your comptroller is. You need to know who your fucking lieutenant governor
and
is.
And you can actually go to some of those meetings. You can actually have a relationship with those people. I mean, even in terms of our mayoral, I know New York's a huge place, but it's like, I think the energy around somebody like Zoran Mamdani is huge because he, whatever, even if you don't fully agree with his politics, he's talking about shit that actually affects regular people.
Well, that's
to me, like he's talking. You know what I mean? It's like
that was the.
He's actually talking about New York. He's like, no, I'm not going to fucking Israel. I'm the mayor of New York.
Yeah, your boy.
Why are you asking me this? It doesn't make any sense.
And he proved something to me that I knew, but he proved it when he beat Cuomo. Watching all the old Democrats go like, no,
yeah, vote blue no matter who.
Vote blue no matter
except
who.
Except that you don't like him.
No.
Yeah.
Terrorist.
Yeah.
You're like, he's Indian. He's like, terrorist.
Yeah,
and you're like, damn, you guys really are the same.
Yeah.
You really are the same. And it helped prove my point to a lot of my friends who are liberal.
Yeah.
Because a lot of my friends who are liberal, when I push back against like hating Chuck Schumer or Pelosi or that, they go, oh, you're just like a secret Trump guy. I'm like, I'm not a secret Trump guy. Those guys even more.
There's an actual third option, which is like caring about working people.
Could you imagine, and I know, listen, this will be the most I probably ever talk about politics on this podcast, but could you imagine a system where it was five candidates, no electoral colleges, and literally the best policy got elected? I know that'll never happen.
Yeah.
Until Citizens United is repealed,
and that's
until all that shit happens. Yeah. But if you fucking could actually run on like, hey, I'm going to do this, and I'm going, which a lot of people still believe is what elections are, but they're not. It's super PACs. It's why everyone in the New York mayoral race went during the debate said, what will you do? And everyone but Mamdani went, I'll visit Israel.
Yeah.
And you went, right. That's crazy.
Right.
What does that even
mean? The amount that people, you can tell how somebody votes based off of who donates to their campaign. It's crazy. So, getting money out of politics is the number one issue that we need to be worried about.
And also,
and it'll never fucking happen.
They proposed that bill that members of or politicians can't invest in the stock market. And then that one guy went, well, I don't know who's going to run for government if you can't make money off it. And you're like, yo, you're just fucking saying it. Like, you're just saying it now. It's crazy. Yeah. That's like being hustled and someone going like, well, I'm not really your friend. I'm just using you. And then I'm going to move on. And you go,
huh? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, dude, I know. It does fucking suck. But
check out Stavi's World.
Please do. Yeah.
Watch all of his specials.
Got one on Netflix, got one on YouTube. Watch Tires.
Dave and Tires. Excellent.
Coming to London.
Yeah, dude.
September 13th, I think.
Hell yeah.
Something like that.
Are you doing a Euro tour or are you just doing
London? A little bit. I'm doing London. Everything else is pretty much sold out, but check out my London dates. I added a second one. We're trying to get that going.
Fuck yeah.
But yeah.
Dude, you are one of my favorite human beings on earth.
Thank you, dude. You're one of my favorite. Are you kidding me?
You fucking bust your ass in a way that's like, damn, I got to start working on it. But I love it, man. And
well, I have
love
a very empty life.
No. I don't know, man.
You have a beautiful home, beautiful fiance.
I'll tell you,
my
man,
personal life is kind of in shambles. I've sort of trying to get my addictions and everything under control.
We're
going
to find you a queen, dude.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of
Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments. River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.